podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Don't Nearly View system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
But you can't bowl and you can't throw. I'm just telling you what everybody knows. Absolute sense. You put down all the talent that's hit you out of the ground. Don't ask what it was, Karen and Joe. So you can't bowl and you can't throw.
In a week where we need to review a review of a review, this is Cut Ball Cut Throw.
The umpires are still having a chat. Even after the umpire, Paschim Pathak, has raised his finger after receiving a confirmation from the TV umpire.
I think I'm just saying yes to Kabadia. What a DRS review itself. So can you review the review?
We can review the situation in the WPL where Hayley Matthews reviewed a successful review against her and got it overturned.
Yes.
That's great.
That's fantastic. You're here with Kat Jones and Dan Libke, and that was in the WPL, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the WPL, which is glorious and commencing for the first time, and everyone's having lots of fun over there. It was in the fifth over of the match between the UP Warriors and the Mumbai Indians, and Sophie Eccleston convinced Captain Alyssa Healy to send an LBW shout that was turned down upstairs. Yes. So they've reviewed that.
And it didn't look like a very good review at the time, right? It looked like it looked like she completely middled, like just a perfect forward defensive shot. And so it was an awful review.
Yeah, indeed. Anyway, Eccleston thought maybe it had been foot first on the way through somehow. Anyway, and it had. So the ultra edge showed a clear mark as it passed the toe.
Yeah.
And ball tracking then said going on to hit the stumps, so change your decision. That's out.
Yep, and Hayley Matthews didn't really believe it.
Because she knew the true story,
yeah,
right?
She knew that it had not touched her toe. It bounced well over her toe, and she defended it. And, like, they could see the replays on the screen of, you know, it did not look as if it had gone anywhere near her foot at all at any point, despite what the ball tracking was saying. So it was all very, very confusing, and she argued with the umpires for a while. And eventually they went back and had another look, right? And what had happened with the ultra edge replay?
Well, somehow the ultra edge replay had been played in reverse for some reason. So it wasn't the wrong ball. It was just in reverse.
Yeah.
And when they played, and of course, in reverse, it makes a big difference whether it's foot first or bat first. Yep. But anyway, when they played it the right way around, she was clearly not out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most catching decisions, if you play them in reverse, they're like obstructing the field or something. All kinds of cricket gets much more interesting for DRS if you play it in reverse.
Yeah, it could be far more meta.
Yes. And it does remind me, remember when we were young that there were all these rumours that, you know, if you played Stairway to Heaven or AC/DC backwards, there's satanic messages inside them. And
or even innocuous messages, particularly if you play the Beatles backwards.
Yes, yes. I feel like those stories have kind of disappeared now that the technology is available to pretty much anybody to just reverse some audio and have a listen. They're the kind of things that are, you know, urban myths, because no one's really easily able to check them back in the 70s or 80s.
Indeed, people are deliberately putting messages now in reverse in their music.
Yeah, but I do like the idea of, you know, let's play something backwards and see if there's a message in it. And the message was Hayley Matthews was out.
Right? And it was incorrect.
Yes.
As all backwards messages are.
Yes.
Anyway, what else has been happening in the WPL?
Well, it's all the Mumbai Indians, as I think we expected. They're undefeated at the time of recording.
And sadly, Beth Mooney, though, was out in her first game. So
yeah, not out, just injured out.
Injured out, yeah, that's right, injured out.
Yeah, so she's home with some kind of foot injury, ankle injury.
Yeah.
Anyway, not great for poor old Beth
At this
Mooney.
Point, I can't even even remember who we decided to barrack for.
Well, I think it was Beth Mooney's team, but yeah. I think we abandoned them as quickly as Beth did.
Yeah, that's true. And looks like Elise Perry's playing a bit of a lone hand for RCB. They're not doing that well.
Yeah, they've lost all five matches. Mm-hmm. Perry scored like heaps of runs. She scored like almost 200 runs at an average of about 50 and a strike rate of about 140. So Meg Lanning is top of the most runs at the time of recording. Uh-huh. Alyssa Healy is third and Elise Perry is second. But there was footage going around of poor old Perry looking very sad in the dugout. It's like, oh my God, what kind of team am I in?
Well, you're the best in the team. That's something.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess he's used to that, right? Sorry, I played the news of the week backwards.
I almost recognise it.
This is the part of the show where we discuss the cricket news of the week.
No messages in the reverse news of the week.
No, definitely not. But there is lots of stuff going on in the world of cricket, so we just have time to cover the last two matches of the Border Gavaskar Trophy.
Yes, this has gone incredibly fast or incredibly slowly, depending on which day you were watching.
Yes, depending on which test you were watching, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when we last left, India were 2-0 up in the series and Australia looks certain to be clean swept. And but no, it wasn't to be.
No. The third test was a bit of a spinathon. That was, again, another very rapid test over in 3 days. This time Australia won. Don't we always get a consolation win over
India? I think I saw a stat that like the last 100 Border Gavaskar series ended 2-1 to India. Like that's in Australia and in India. So
I think
this is a trend now.
Mm.
There was lots of talk before the match that the responsibility of the captaincy would bring out Smith's best batting form because he was the new captain with poor Pat Cummins not being able to take place.
No, he was fairly mediocre. Right?
He was, yeah. He only scored 26. And I think that shows his support for Cummins' leadership.
Yes, indeed.
He says, I'll be a loyal foot soldier, Pat. I'll just hang around here and fill in every now and then. We did also have one former Australian player very much enjoyed the pitch. He tweeted out.
This would have to be a spinner.
He was. It was Michael Beer, and he tweeted out, very entertaining cricket. I think this pitch would be a good template for all red ball cricket around the world.
Ah.
But that is obviously just the Beer talking, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
We had Jadeja. Well, doing a fabulous job when he was bowling, but when he was reviewing, they just burned a hole in his pocket, didn't they?
He got so excited because the ball was turning so much There were so many balls missing the bat and hitting the pad and, just going past edges. He was just, I'm reviewing every single thing, just burnt them all in a hurry.
They were all in the first few overs, all gone.
Yep, no mucking about. Rohit Sharma kept listening to him. It was just like, why not Ravindra?
Mind you, Australia did that beautifully in the first two tests as well. So it's good fun.
Much more fun to just burn the reviews, get rid of them, go back to good old-fashioned cricket where both teams have no reviews left, just play cricket.
Reliance on the umpire.
Yes. So I think my favourite part of this test was that India had a 75-run lead going into the fourth inning. So it was kind of both insane and perfectly justified that the result of the test still wasn't certain at that point. Like you still thought, well, Australia could easily be bowled out for less than 75 here.
Indeed.
Khawaja was out second ball of the final day. It was all a bit nerve-wracking.
Could have been a tumble, but no, in the end, Hedemanis just got there comfortably.
Mm. So that was kind of a thrilling three-day test.
It was thrilling, but the fourth test was a bit the opposite, right? It was more like a road.
It was the dullest thing I've ever. I watched pretty much every ball, except for when we ducked out to watch an episode of Survivor, which didn't see us missing a single thing. We came back and the exact same two batters were batting.
It was dreadfully dull, wasn't it?
Yeah, five days of pretty much no wickets falling and runs being scored, but at a very slow pace. So it wasn't even as if they were baz-balling it all over the place and going at 4 or 5 runs and over. It was like 2.5 runs and over. Nobody's wicket falling. Yeah, even Virat Kohli scored a century. I mean, that's how easy it was to bat.
Oh, dear. And Cameron Green, he got a ton too, which was lovely. Mm. Did Kooneman get one?
He would have, I think. He opened the batting for Australia. He was a night watch Kooneman. And and he was given out LBW for one that was missing leg stump, but Travis Head was very mean and wouldn't let him review it.
Oh, that's a bit sad. Like, don't waste a review on a night watch Kooneman.
Yeah, very sad.
That's no good.
Kooneman. Yeah, I reckon he could have easily scored a ton. That was a very easy batting pitch.
Yeah, that's a shame. Poor Kooneman. because will he ever play again? Who knows?
Maybe not. Australia will be going back to India in 4 years' time.
Yeah, he could show up then. Yeah.
Anyway, the test was so boring that the commentators helped us out a bit. There was a whole heap of...
Lots of nonsense.
I think my pick of the nonsense is Sunil Gavaskar. He dipped into the old Mark Waugh playbook and pulled out, and I haven't seen much of him, but he pulled it out on Steve Smith, which is just fantastic.
Yeah. Could have pulled it out on Kuhneman,
Kuhneman, you might have gone, oh, fair enough. You can't be bothered doing your research.
Had he also not seen much of Kohli?
No, I haven't seen much of this Kohli chap. What's his go? You can just imagine him, Stokes, bats and poles. Good on him. Yeah, good on him for having a go. Yes. I think what made it even funnier was that I think of the last tour of India, which Gavaskar commentates every single
Yeah, Gavaskar's always there.
I mean, he's in the trophy. He has to commentate. Mm. And, the last tour of India, Smith batted for about, 71 days over the four tests.
He always does.
So it was very funny.
Everyone out there's seen a lot of him. Get up, except get with the program, Gavaskar. And another bit of nonsense, were prime ministers driving around in little clown cars before the match?
Yeah, so before the match they got in a car, they were driven around, they waved to this crowd that was supposed to be 180,000 or something, and then I'm not sure quite got that large.
No, but it was like one person every 100 seats.
Yeah, it was a very big stadium, just not as many people in the crowd as they expected. And then the prime ministers watched about half a session of the test, and I think they were the most sensible ones there because they thought this is a road. There's going to be no wickets. We're out of here.
Yeah.
And we never saw them again. So I think Australia made 480 when they batted first.
That's right. It wasn't Jadeja this time. It was Ashwin, and he cleaned up the tail and also the head. Yes. Head at the top of the head.
Yes. India then made 571 in reply, and Australia, looked like they were going to make another 500 as well, but everybody got bored and they called the series off. I think my favourite bit about this.
How close did they get to the very last minute?
Well, I think because you could call it off with an hour to go.
Yep.
But you can also, because Australia were batting still in the third innings of the test, you can actually declare 10 minutes earlier than that. And then because you've got to wait 10 minutes, technically they finished 10 minutes earlier than they could have because Steve Smith said, well, we're going to declare. And then India said, that's fine, we'll call it off after that 10 minutes. So it was effectively got a 10-minute early mark. So good on them. And congratulations to Australia for winning the back half of the series 1-0.
Yes.
Please support capitalism by checking out these sponsors.
All right, so this episode is sponsored by the Sports Podcast Awards.
Yes, we've never heard of these before until just last week.
Yep, but now we're all over them. Not because Can't Poll Can't Throw has been nominated.
No, that
would be crazy.
We're snubbed again by the Academy, just like Alfred Hitchcock.
Exactly.
Every time.
Yes, but what are the other podcasts in our stable? The Ridiculous Ashes, which I do.
Not just in our stable, in our house.
In our house, in the stable at the back of our house. The Ridiculous Ashes with me and Alex Burden. We've been nominated in both the Best Cricket Podcast and Best Sports Comedy Podcast categories.
Fantastic. Yes. I mean, we know one of those at least has to be a certainty, right?
Well, I don't think either of them are a certainty. Alex and I pretty much agree that all we want to do is not come last.
Yes.
So we're asking you to click through and vote for us. You don't have to vote for us in the Best Cricket Podcast Award. There's proper podcasts out there that you can vote for in that one. But in the Best Sports Comedy Award, come on. You're not going to vote for a Formula One podcast.
Or rugby, for God's sake.
No. You've got to vote for...
Table tennis. Yeah, I mean, none of those are funny.
No. You've got to vote for a cricket podcast. Links to vote are in the show notes. Or you could just go to leavecricket.com/votecricket or leavecricket.com/votefunny and they'll redirect you to the right place to vote.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, next year we'll try and get Can't Poll Can't Throw in there as well. Just see which one Dan votes for.
Yes.
Let's play... Are you smarter than a fifth-grade cricketer?
So here we are in the quiz. Are you smarter than a fifth-grade cricketer? Mm. Dan, are you smarter?
I'm not sure I am, but we'll soon see.
Anyway, we have a few ODIs coming up in the international cricket calendar.
Yep.
And then we've, got the IPL. Mm. And then Australia and India apparently play one another in the World Test Championship final in June after all of the tests have played out in the last couple of days.
Yep.
The reason they're both qualified, of course, is at least partially because New Zealand Zealand beat Sri Lanka in a very thrilling match in Christchurch. It was match of the week, easily match of the week. It's a second time since we last recorded that New Zealand have been involved in a brilliant test match finish. So they also had a one-run win over England the day after our previous episode. They are doing a pretty good job in New Zealand of keeping cricket exciting.
Yeah, right? That's very exciting over there. I think all test matches should be played in New Zealand from now on.
Absolutely. So the quiz is pretty simple, Dan. I'm going to give you a stat or a fact from one of those two matches, and you just have to tell me which one it was. The England match with a narrow win or the Sri Lanka match with a narrow win.
Okay. Okay. All right. We'll see how we go here.
I
watched the end of both matches, but I was kind of dipping in and out otherwise.
You better hope that the questions were about the end, right?
You would hope so.
Okay, out of these two games, question one, out of the two matches, which game had more byes, Dan?
More byes. Well, I do know that the Sri Lanka game was won by a bye off the last ball with Kane Williamson scurrying through as Sri Lanka attempted a couple of runouts.
So at least one for that match.
So at least one for that one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many there are in the England one, but I think this might be a trick question. So I'm going to say the England game had more byes. The Sri Lanka game didn't have quite as many.
Well, no, the correct answer, you are wrong, the Sri Lanka game. And it was not a trick question at all. There were 13 byes in that game, 8 to New Zealand and 5 to Sri Lanka. The England game had just one bye.
Oh, just one bye.
Just one bye. And that was committed by Ben Folkes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's first question down.
Yep.
Right. Question two. In which game was a batter in the run chase dismissed for a diamond duck out for zero without facing a ball?
Okay. Well, I know this one. This was the England game because this was the big hitting Harry Brook came in and then Joe Root cooked poor old Harry Brook. It was a cooked Brook.
Yep.
Just called him through for a non-existent single and said, see you later, Harry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Poor old Harry. But at least Joe Root remained there.
Yes. Yep.
Correct. Correct answer. It was the England game. So we have one out of two.
Mm-hmm.
Question three. In which game did Kane Williamson score 132 in New Zealand's second innings?
132. Well, 132 out or not out? Because I know he was not out.
There was a not out. There was possibly something... Another high score with a not out.
Yes.
And one high score that was out.
All right. I'm going. I don't think he got to 132 in the Sri Lanka game. I think he was in the 100 and teens or something. So I'm going to say the 132 was in the England game. I seem to recall him scoring a lot of runs in the second innings.
Yes, indeed. He scored lots of runs in both matches. But the England game
is
correct. The Sri Lanka game, he settled for a mere 121. Not out.
Oh, it's very lazy.
Yes, very lazy. Okay, so question four. In which game did Blair Tickner play? Blair Tickner, famous player for, I don't know, maybe New Zealand, England, or Sri Lanka. Who knows?
I think he's a New Zealand player. I think he's a cousin of friend of the podcast, Dave Tickner. But in which game did he play? So that narrows it down
to both games.
Yes. It's a 50-50. I have no idea. I have no memory of Blair Tickner playing any tests at all. So I'm just going to have a guess and say the England game.
It was the Sri Lanka game. And that means you are now 2 out of 4.
Oh, God.
So, in fact, Blair Tickner replaced the batter Will Young, who made just 2 runs and 8 runs in his 2 innings against England.
Mm, okay.
So they had to replace him with Blair Tickner.
Tickner's not even a batter.
I have no idea. I have no idea what Blair Tickner made, but I do know what the replacement was for. Anyway, question five. We still have 2 more questions. You're 2 out of 4.
All right. Well, I've got to get at least these last two right. Otherwise, it's just random chance.
That's right. Oh, it could be worse. Question five. In which game did a number 9 New Zealand batter score 73 in the first innings?
I seem to recall Captain Tim Southee coming in and having a bit of a tonk.
So you know who did it.
Yeah.
You are correct. It was Tim Southee.
I'm pretty sure that was the England game. He came out and had a bit of a thrash because they were hopeless. Because they had to follow on and they were scoring no runs at all. And Southee came out, had a thrash. Yep. I'm saying he scored 73. So yeah, I'm going to say that was the England game.
Correct. It was Tim Southee in that match. And you're only just correct though, because in the Sri Lanka game, we also had number 9 Matt Henry make 72.
Oh, okay. Good for him.
Off 75 balls. So Southie made 73 off 49. You're right, he had a tonk.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt Henry made only 72 and didn't even top score.
Yep. Pretty sad for him.
Okay, so that is now your 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5.
Better than chance. Mm. Question 6. Last question. In which game was Neil Wagner a key figure in the final ball of the match?
I'm pretty sure this is a trick question because Neil Wagner was bowling the final ball of the England match. He's the one who got Jimmy Anderson caught down the leg side.
Yeah.
And he was also at the non-strikers end in the Sri Lanka game. He's the one who ran through like a lunatic for the bye. So I'm going to say both matches Neil Wagner was a key figure in the final ball of the match.
Yes, you do. You did say you watched the final ball of both matches. So probably you were always going to get this one right. But you are correct, and that is 4 out of 6.
Oh,
Dan is massively smarter than a fifth grade cricketer who probably wouldn't have even answered any of those questions.
I can't bowl, can't throw, coming live. Thanks for tuning in and taking your time. The underappreciated act of the week, the funniest and crazy plays of the week. Who is going to join the honorary board? The number one Scott Moeller reward.
Here we are in the Muller Award, which is where we celebrate the ridiculous aspects of cricket that have entertained us over the last week or so. And the first nomination that I've got here is a Ben Stokes tweet. it's Ben Stokes himself. We were alerted to this by his tweet. And the tweet said, "To whoever stole my bag at King's Cross train station, I hope my clothes are too big for you. You absolute asterisk, 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 frowny face emoji."
Frowny face emoji. Pulling out the frowny face emoji. And not many people pull that out.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So we presume it wasn't his cricket bag because he's talking about clothes, right?
I think so, but I do hope that it was like Ben Folks who stole his bag. I think Ben Folks just saw it, KES at the end, thought, yeah, that's mine.
That's mine.
Grabbed it, put it all on. The clothes are probably a little too big. I'm not sure.
No, they'd be about right.
About right, yeah. I think so. And he'd probably look smarter in Ben Stokes' clothes than Ben Stokes does himself.
You never know. I have an unlisted muller. It was the match where everyone's been tweeting out about the fielding where the guy was chasing the ball.
Yes.
And then he fell over.
Yep.
And right on the boundary line, tried to throw the ball back to his teammate and it hit his foot and went over the rope for
yep.
four.
Yep, that's a fantastic
we don't know who that was.
Viral content.
Or which team that was, but that was a very good bit of content.
It was very silly, yes. I'm sure if you log on to the internet,
it'll be the first thing shown.
Favorite place, internet. It will be the first thing shown. Whatever site you go to, doesn't matter what site you go to.
And even if you're listening to this in 5 years' time, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Fielder hits ball over the rope with his foot. That's what you need to Google to find that one. Or just go to Dan's Twitter account.
Yeah. What else have we got? We've got Maharaj was stretched off after. This is not funny, but it kind of is.
I love how Dan's laughing. Maharaj was stretched off after suffering an injury, and Dan's laughing.
I'm only laughing because he suffered the injury while celebrating a wicket, which is just not funny, but also kind of funny. Like it was a serious injury. He's out for a long time.
Oh, is he?
And I shouldn't be laughing, but it is kind of funny when someone's celebrating a wicket and injures themselves in the process. It feels like the kind of thing that should have happened to Imran Tahir about 1,000 times over.
Yes.
With him. He must have busted a hammy at least 12 times, right?
Yeah, that's right. Or whacked someone in the face with his arms out. That's not great. Not great to be stretched off. I mean, if you just poke someone in the eye, that's one thing.
I was thinking about Brad Haddin being poked in the eye by James Faulkner.
Oh, well.
Yes.
We also had a two-ball run chase, which is fantastic. The Isle of Man were bowled out for 10.
A little bit disappointing for them.
Yeah, that's right. So didn't even make it through the first over. This Spain ran it down in two legitimate deliveries. An embarrassment for the Isle
of
Man.
Yeah, so the first ball was a wide / no ball. It was off the pitch. It didn't even land. So then it was a free hit and then the Spain batter just went 6-6. That'll do it. We're out of here. I'd like to see an Isle of Man versus Sydney Thunder exhibition match to open this year's Big Bash. Or is there a T20 World Cup this year? There probably is.
There probably is, yeah.
So let's open that as well.
Wowee. One of the lowest ever men's T20 scores there.
Yep.
And
from the Isle of Man, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Should the Isle of Woman, they wouldn't have succumbed so easily.
No, that's right. Yes. Indeed.
We also have Sean Marsh retired, which is... which is good for him.
Hasn't he retired already?
I think he just stopped being selected for Australia.
Right, I see. So what's he retired from? We don't know yet.
First-class cricket. Like
just first-class cricket.
Well, and effectively international cricket too.
All forms of every kind of cricket.
All forms of every cricket, yes. I mean, he did play about 30 years. He's about 50 years old now.
Yeah, of course.
I think he might still be playing, you know, big bashes of franchise T20s and stuff, if anyone will pay for him. But he's done from longer forms of the game.
Available for selection, anyone who's listening out there.
It does look very much like the Mitches are going to outlast the Marshes, right? So the sole Marsh left is a Mitch, which means almost by definition the Mitches will win. We did lose Mitch Johnson a few years back, but Mitch Swepson stepped up to take his place. So plenty of Mitches, just the one Marsh remaining, and that is a Mitch Marsh.
But they are procreating, so lots of possibilities for the future there for the Marsh family dynasty. Cricket.
We just need Mitch Marsh to hang on for another 15 years or so until the next Marsh can take his place.
Indeed.
So who's going to win the Muller Award this week?
I think the Isle of Man has to.
Yeah. Congratulations to the Isle of Man. We look forward to that.
Change the name of your island, guys.
Yes. I think that's it. You've been listening to Dan Lipke. I'm at Lieb Cricket on Twitter and Mastodon.
And Mastodon. You're still persisting with Mastodon. When will you give up Mastodon? Anyway, I'm Kat Jones. I am at CricketBatCat on Twitter.
And Mastodon.
I haven't been to Mastodon for 6 months.
Yep. You can follow us on Can't Bowl Throw on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook by searching for Can't Bowl, Can't Throw. And after you've listened to this episode, play it backwards and see if you can find a secret message.
And then go vote. Go vote for Dan's podcast.
December. Sports Social Podcast Network.